Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
I will tell you a story. I'll tell you a bunch of little stories that pop into my pea brain as I'm watching these games. And yesterday, the first one, I'm always on a timeline type of thing, Reggie, but we got the news an hour and a half before the game officially that Titus Howard was going to be, well, it wasn't even that. We got the news before that, but Titus Howard was going to be starting at left guard, Blake Fisher at right tackle. Here's the thing, and we might dig in a little deeper later, but my first passing thought was, all right, Kenyon Green is not a part of their plans now, and maybe, probably, not a part of their plans in the future. Guys, by definition, yesterday, they had options. They could have gone with Zach Thomas at left guard, Kenyon Green at left guard, but Kenyon Green was a healthy scratch from the starting lineup, and that means they went with Titus Howard and Blake Fisher at right. The bigger question is, you know, where is Kenyon Green moving forward? And right now, he's not in the plans.
Yeah, I there's a lot of questions I have about that situation because there's a lot of questions are brought up just by the various ways that this happens, right? Obviously, Kenyon Green was being reactivated or brought back to practice this week, mm-hmm. and we know that there can be some hesitation or maybe not hesitation, but some care, deep care given to players returning from injury mm-hmm. by this Texas team.
But he was healthy. They said Friday, no issues.
Yeah.
With Kenyon Green,
and so you also had him splitting practice mm-hmm. snaps. Allegedly or reportedly with Zach Thomas, mm-hmm. and then neither of them end up playing. They end up doing the thing where they do a little musical chairs to get the five best linemen on the field. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some real questions as to where you go from here with that left guard with Kenyon Green, who you invested a first-round pick in. Is that something where you're willing to move on? Is this going to be the offensive line continuing forward? Or what happens when Juice Scruggs gets
back?
That's
my second part of this. What happens when Juice Scruggs is healthy? Because, you know, they were talking about, they being specifically Nick Caserio, he's a better center than he is a guard. They were talking about some of the issues. We know some of the issues. They were running the ball. And this offensive line was okay, maybe a starting point. So what do you do with Juice Scruggs?
Yeah, all of that. I think a lot of that remains to be seen still. But I am very intrigued to get some level of answers. As of right now, I'm just happy that you got CJ Stroud with enough time to throw to make some things happen in this game, and it felt a lot better, right? Just the natural release of, oh, it is not a pain to watch this offensive line in the same ways that it had been in some weeks prior.
Another passing thought here. Why haven't they been doing this with Tank Dell all year long? Why have we not seen him on punt returns all year long? This guy is a weapon. We were talking in the press box. He's going to break one. He might break more than one. He is something on those punt returns. Why hadn't this been happening? I guess we just appreciate what we have now.
It seemed like they kind of value him more as a receiver, like just being part of the receiving game more than the kick return.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I felt like he could be doing more receiving, but I think it makes sense for him to be on the kick return.
Yeah, and I think that we saw that just in the week prior to the bye week as well. A little bit more of that. Mm-hmm. This feels like an acknowledgement of the fact that they have not been able to get him as involved in the passing game generally. So it's like, hey, we have this dude who has a lot of talent. Plus, it's not like you have been doing a ton with the returns. And it's like, find ways to get him going. We talked about it. I think we used the metaphor, maybe the simile. I don't even know what the right part of speech is. But we compared it to in basketball. See the ball go through the hoop, right? Yeah. Give him an opportunity to get the legs moving, get the ball in his hand, and do things. And I think you immediately saw him in the end around in the first quarter, and you go, okay, maybe some of that is an aspect of getting the ball in his hands on a return. And he had a couple of solid returns, and like you said, it does feel like he will break one.
And maybe they were being overly cautious, you know, given, he got shot in the leg in the offseason, and he had an injury last year. But this guy is a weapon. My whole thing with Tank Dell is get the ball in his hands as many times as you can, as creatively as you can.
Right.
So that's huge.
I think some of it is like the acknowledgement of, hey, he is taking an even bigger role in this offense. So like generally when that happens, you don't necessarily put those guys in the return roles until necessary. And it does feel like it's become a little bit more necessary. But what was nice about it on top of it, I think Sean turns to us in the press box and goes, that looks like U of H Tank. And I think that's really the big thing, is getting him back to that place where he looks explosive, and I think that the word to use is dangerous.
Yeah.
And he looked dangerous in that game.
Another passing thought here. Speaking of Sean, he's going to be mentioned here in a second. Bobby Slowick really didn't show us a lot, man. He really didn't.
The opening script was really solid.
Yeah, okay.
How was the rest of the movie?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Well, I reserve a little bit of judgment to really getting a chance to actually go back through the film in a better way. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans. But it did feel like they acknowledged some of the things that were happening, and they didn't run the football nearly as much. I think it was early on, and I looked down like, hey, Joe Mixon still only has one carry. He ends up with 12 over the total of the game, and they did some of the things that we were talking about that hurt the Jets, right? They got the ball to Mixon in the air. We had 6 targets, and he was literally the leading receiver on yards wise in this game. Like, you had some of the smart ways to attack this defense. I think I thought you had some good plays that get out there, and some of it I do wonder if it is. He was correct in saying some of it is the execution of getting out here and doing it.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Better.
Yeah, I disagree, man. They have 85 yards in the first half. Their points came on short fields. One of which they couldn't convert into a touchdown.
They did have more. They did stay ahead of the chains a lot better in this game.
A little bit,
as well,
but 85 yards, whatever it was, 80 something yards in the first half. I'm not going to pile on here. I'm just saying every element of this team, you could see where the bye week and the preparation, the 2 weeks preparation, helped them. Whether it was special teams or the defense or just the hop in their step, they looked a little more refreshed. C.J. Stroud looked better. But the offensive play calling didn't. And I mentioned Sean at one point, actually going into the half, when the offense was really just not completing drives, he turned to us and said, this made me feel like Bobby Slowick didn't do anything but play video games during the 2 weeks.
Yeah, I will say it.
Oh, why you got to do Bobby like that?
Right. What's your problem against video games?
I didn't say it.
I think that, there wasn't like a huge, wild, imaginative shift.
Obvious, yeah.
In there. But I do want to take a look at like what shifts, maybe minor, in a more minor way, mm-hmm. did actually happen in the game. Actually, it's an oddity that doesn't actually connect, but it just reminded me that all of CJ's completions were against his own defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do wonder, like, what that oddity, like, what kind of things we can actually suss out as we circle back around and look at this game more deeply. But, yeah, I feel you, right? The offense was not spectacular, but I think considering the ways that the offense, the issues that it had, you did find some fixes for some of the things, or even if they're, you know, mm-hmm. temporary, it did feel like, okay, we're moving in the right direction with this. All it just feels like there's not going to be a high aspiration for this offense this year.
All right, don't tell anybody my next passing thought, all right? This is just among us. This is just between us.
Let me cut the music down.
Yeah,
man.
Don't tell anybody what I'm about to say. I feel like the rest of the league is sleeping on Frank Ross as a head coaching candidate. It really, I mentioned it last year that, you know, the guy
man,
is a,
shut the hell up, man.
I know, don't tell anybody.
We don't want him to leave.
If you don't tell anybody, he won't. So you guys don't tell anybody.
Okay.
He is always prepared. The team is never makes big mistakes. Now, how many mistakes, like flat out mistakes, have you seen on special teams this year? He's got personality. Special teams are always, you know, at the top of the heap. There's just something about Frank Ross. Keep in mind, John Harbaugh was a special teams coach.
Yes.
Coordinator. I feel like the rest, like, I feel like Frank
so
Ross.
So was Joe Judge.
And Joe Judge as well. I feel like Frank Ross at some point.
Not to compare Frank Ross to Joe Judge. I just wanted to make that note.
I feel like Frank Ross has some head coaching qualities. I really do.
The energy that he brings, like, yeah, mm-hmm. I think special teams coordinators in general are mm-hmm. overlooked a little bit for these types of situations, especially in the modern NFL where you want the X's and O's advantage that a play caller is going to bring to a team. Like that's mm-hmm. where team owners have kind of leaned towards. But how much I feel like with head coaching, a lot of the job is being able to be somebody's boss.
Yeah.
And
he's good at that.
Being a play caller doesn't always tell you about that, but you know what it does? Not having like a specific set of players. You have to take for lack of a better term, the scraps from other places, mm-hmm. right? And you have to get them to gel together and play at a high level. And Frank Ross definitely does that to extreme degree with this Texas team.
This passing thought might have been classified as a confession, but I've got a couple of other confessions for 1220. Every time I see injuries and moments like what happened to Grant DuBose, I kind of feel bad for loving football as much as I do.
Yeah.
I really do.
100%.
I feel bad because this is it's just not normal, man.
No.
It's not a normal thing.
All.
It's like there's a reason that gladiators, you know, are no more. They call them modern day gladiators. Well, there's a reason we don't have gladiators anymore. It was horrific to watch.
Yeah,
you know,
we the violence is part of the charm of the game. Yeah. And I use charm kind
no,
of.
No, it is. But like I said, I'm not going to change, but I feel kind of bad. I feel dirty.
No, absolutely. 100%. Mm-hmm. Right. Like this would not be happening if we were not consuming it. Right. Mm-hmm. There's an audience for it, and we are the audience. And that's why they get out here and they play the car crash sport, as I call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is some acknowledgement that has to be had of that. Of course, you try and make it as safe as possible, but you can only make the safer cigarette so safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. And this is we're smoking packs and packs of the safer cigarette here.
By the way, Adam Schefter reporting movement in all his extremities, still in Houston at the hospital. And they're monitoring him. They're treating him. Last one here for you, because I didn't mention this during our talk about the defense in the first segment. We came into this game and we said tackling, tackling, tackling. This was one of the best, if not the best tackling game the Texans defense ever had at a moment that they needed it the most. I mean, these guys, you talk about the sideline to sideline stuff that they were, their game plan was against the Texans. That was about as good as or better than I've seen all year.
Yeah, and some of it was, again, shout out to Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans. Like, there were instances where we know this team likes kind of playing those cornerbacks off at times. They were like, look, we'll play those cornerbacks up. Those safeties will be deep, you know, so that we can make sure to, mm-hmm. you know, not allow those deep plays. But then you saw Kamari Lassiter and maybe more to a bigger degree, Stingley and then Ward getting up there and making tackles in the flats when it was absolutely necessary against a team that wants to get those guys in space. No, this defense did an incredible job in that regard, for sure. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are the OG's passing thoughts after the Texans get a 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins and provide one half of the things that were necessary to get the AFC South championship or title locked in. Somebody was a little peeved at me using the word championship. It is. I mean, you're the champion of the AFC South. I understand, like, there are higher aspirations and everything. But, yeah, that is technically correct, which, as I often say, is the best kind of correct. But coming up next, this was another instance where an opposing quarterback came in and didn't look like the best version of themselves. Tua Tagovailoa threw a few interceptions. There was, like, four turnovers in this game. Question of the day. Get involved, 713-572-4610. What is it about NRG or Houston or whatever that makes opposing quarterbacks bleep the bed? I want serious or non-serious answers alike. 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.